We've been talking about prayer the last several sessions, and we'll continue to do that for a while. And today we're going to, and I think in a previous time we talked about prayer in general, then we talked about the importance of believing with prayer and knowing what's available. We're going to go another step in that direction and talk about prayer with expectation. This is a topic we talk about from time to time. That what are we expecting? Because God wants us to expect Him to follow through on what He said. It's an aspect of believing, is to simply have expectation that God will actually carry through on what He says. Expectations are a big thing. A lot of people in business and in sales and in management are very careful to do what they call managing people's expectations, because if people expect in a business deal or a job or a sale of something they're buying, if they expect a certain thing and then they only receive half of it, they get mad, they get discouraged, they may threaten all kinds of trouble. But if they only expect a little bit and you give them twice as much, then they're all happy. So expectations are a very, very big deal in all aspects of life. And God talks a lot about expectations and what we should expect from Him. And if we know what we can expect from God and then we expect it, we not only will receive the things we asked in prayer, but we'll be much more happy and content, because we will have a better idea what expectations are realistic and what expectations are just simply not realistic. So let's start in Psalm 27 with this fun, wonderful topic. Here we go in Psalm 27. Okay, Psalm 27 and verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord. And the word wait from the Hebrew is that word kawah, Q-A-W-A-H. And that Brian will put the notes on the website, so you don't have to write all this down. You can just look at it there if you like. But it's the word kawah, which means to expect or look for. We wait on the Lord, but we wait with expectation. If you go out to dinner and you walk in the door and it's really crowded and they put your name on a list and hand you one of those little buzzers, yes, you are waiting for a table, but you're expecting. They tell you it'll be 5 to 10 minutes. Well, if half an hour goes by and they don't give you a table, you go up and ask the hostess, what's going on? You said 5 to 10 minutes. I've been here 30 minutes. Because you have an expectation. Yes, you're waiting, but you have an expectation that you'll get a table soon and you'll be able to sit down and order something to eat and drink. So yes, you're waiting, but it's not waiting hopelessly, sort of wishing that something happens with no reason to believe it will. Many of us have been to restaurants, and my experience is if they give you a little beeper and you're waiting, you usually get a table. It's a rare, rare day when you don't. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that's ever happened to me. Because if you're waiting with expectation, the system will get you a table. Well, God, in a much greater way and more reliable way, wants us to wait with expectation. He does want us to wait, because there are times, for a number of reasons, some known only to Him, some that He reveals to us, He can't always do what we want immediately. That's just why we have little statements like, God is never late. He may not be early, but He's never late. That's just an observation somebody made, and it's a pretty good observation. But Psalm 27:14 says to wait with expectation, to expect, look for on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, expecting Him to bless you, expecting Him to answer your prayer, expecting Him to carry through on His promises. Be of good courage, and it takes great courage to wait on the Lord. It's easier to fall into discouragement and malaise and just totally give up on life. That's frankly an easy thing to do, to be very defeatist. And sometimes you meet people like that, that all they want to do is talk about all their problems, talk about their war stories, talk about how tough things are, yet with never any positive expectation that God will come through. And it's one thing to be honest about the challenges you have in life, to be honest about your difficulties and what you're facing. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with sharing that with a person and sort of talking it through to sort of clarify your own thoughts. But when you never get beyond talking about your problem and you never get beyond negative discussions, it's just discouraging because you have to get to the place where you are expecting God to bless you. I mean, look at Paul. Look at some of the things he went through. You know, he spent a day and a night in the deep. He was whipped. He was imprisoned. Yet his expectation was always that God would deliver him and that he would go out and be able to bless God's people with his word. That's what his expectation was. And the same thing in our lives. It's nothing wrong with addressing a problem head on and talking about it and being realistic about it. But don't stop there. Don't stop with the problem. Move past the problem to expecting God to bless you. You know, it's like, think of a football team. Let's say they had a terrible first half and the coach drags them in the locker room and they sort of analyze it. Yeah, you blew this pass. You blew this reception. You should have tackled this guy then, or you tackled the wrong guy, or whatever they're talking about. It's okay to analyze it. But if you stop there and your conclusion was, we're a lousy team and we're going to lose, that wasn't a very good halftime chat. You have to get beyond that. You have to say, okay, we did this wrong. Let's do it this way the second half. You goofed up this over there. I'll move you over to the other side and put another guy in that spot. Point is, you have a positive way forward, whatever the coach and the captain and the team thinks. You have a positive way forward. And that's the way it is with our expectations of God's word. It's nothing wrong with honestly assessing the problem you're confronting. But don't let your expectation be that you'll always have problems and it'll always be a mess and it'll never get better. That's not what God wants. He wants us to expect him to bless him, bless us. He wants us to pray with believing and this positive expectation. So let's read that verse 14 of Psalm 27 again. Wait with positive expectation, looking for deliverance on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't give in and get discouraged and be defeatist. Don't be. Have the courage to stand up to everybody else and to yourself and say, God will bring me victory. See, I rarely see times when people talk about being tough and taking a stand and having courage that they're doing that. They're usually taking a stand by being mad at somebody about something. And it's okay. There are times to be mad about at people. But the real stand, the real courage we need to have is trusting that God will bring us deliverance and not giving in, to the negativism and defeatism that we're often surrounded with. That's where you really need to be courageous. I know when we talk about courage, it's people climbing mountains or facing beasts or walking into combat, and all those things take courage, and I'm not in any way detracting from that, but I rarely have to climb Mount Everest or face a wild beast, or have somebody come at me with machine guns. That's just not part of my daily life. But what I do have to do is have the courage to expect God to bless me and not give in to negative defeatism. That's where I have to have courage, and that's where most of us have to have courage on a daily basis. And if you do that, then when you do run into that extreme situation that people put in the movies, now you're ready because you have developed a habit pattern and a thought process and a way of living where expecting God to bless you is what you do every minute of every day. It's just the way you think. So wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then it's repeated, wait, I say, on the Lord. Expect God to bless you. If you do nothing else this week, but as you pray, and as you go to God with the needs on your heart, you simply expect him to bless you. Expect him to help you. You realize you may have to wait sometimes, but it's always with expectation. If that's the only thing you do, and the only thing you adjust in your thinking, you are going to have an incredibly marvelous week. And then if you can keep it up for 2 weeks and go from there, it'll change your life. Because we are so used to expecting nothing from people, because people tend to always let us down, or not always, but frequently. We are so used to expecting circumstances to work out, because they often don't, And that's okay. You don't have to put your reliance and expectation on people or circumstances. You put your expectation on God and His faithfulness to come through for you. And the more you do that, the more blessed you'll be, the more thankful you'll be, the more successful you'll be. So, again, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I know we've read these verses before. It seems every couple of years we go into these, but you know they're still true a couple of years later. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, truly, thou shalt be fed. So if you simply trust in the Lord and do good, you'll get to live in your house and eat. Great. Now if you go the next step, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Go the next step and not just trust in the Lord, but get delighted about Him, get excited about Him, get thrilled about being able to go to God and pray and talk to Him and listen to Him and read His Word and share it with others and live His Word. Just get excited about the things of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. The things deep down inside you really want that you maybe don't even understand, that you don't know how to address, God will give them to you. And that is so different than just seeing an ad for something and going and buying one. Nothing wrong with that, because there's stuff they have in ads that you need and you want and you can afford. You should go buy it. Nothing wrong with that. And get it on sale if you can, for God's sake. Perfect. But that's different than the desires of your heart, the things deep down inside that you really feel you need. God can know, He knows those things deep down in your heart that you need, and He will find a way to fulfill them for you. That's what God does. So if you go beyond simply trusting in the Lord and delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now look at verse 5. Is the word commit, which can be roll yourself upon. Like, so you get this big burden on your shoulders. You just roll it over onto God. It's commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So whatever is burdening you down, instead of carrying it on your shoulders, just roll it over to God. Let Him carry it on His shoulders, and you trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Great stuff. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There again, we have that wait with expectation. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That's another thing a lot of people do. They look at somebody who's ungodly or is causing them trouble, and they get so mad that the person is prospering. Well, that doesn't matter. What they're doing doesn't matter. What matters is that you look to God, and God blesses you and takes care of you. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't turn around and do evil just because other people are. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that have the expectation that God will bless them, they shall inherit the earth. Look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord with expectation. Expect Him to bless you. Expect Him to answer your prayers when you pray. And keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked art cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he cannot be found. Mark the perfect man, verse 37, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. When we learn to simply turn things over to God, and expect Him to bless us, that's when we have great peace. Because we know that no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what different people do, God will be there to bless us. And that is exactly what God does. He is there to bless us in every possible way. So that's why we put our expectations on the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 40. Just flip over a page or two. Oh, it's on the same page for me. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. That word kawah again. And patiently can also be translated intently. In Hebrew, they just doubled the wording. They said, waiting, I waited. Which is a Hebrew way of saying, I waited intently. I wasn't just waiting, I was waiting with great intensity. So I waited with expectation, very intently, for the Lord. And what did he do? He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't know about you, but with all the media, all the electronic communications, everybody being busy and running everywhere, sometimes it's very hard to get people's attention. Other times it's not so bad, but it can be very difficult to get somebody's attention. But not the Lord. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I expected him to listen. I was very intent in my expectation, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of a miry pit, or out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot in a rock, and established my goings. And we've talked about this before. There are days when life is just the pits. Feel like you're trapped. Well, that's okay. God will bring you up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He'll set your foot upon a rock and establish your goings. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now look at verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Listen to the New Revised Standard translation of this verse 5. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Wow. That's amazing stuff, isn't it? Were I to proclaim and tell, well, I'll read that again. You multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell them, they would be more than can be counted. Verse 6 of Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O God. Great stuff. But getting back to verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard me. Psalm 62, verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5. Just a minute here. Let me check one thing while you turn to Psalm 62. Okay, Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. That's who I'm expecting. So he's saying, my soul, awake thou, only have expectation, only wait with expectation for God, because my expectation is from him. Isn't that something? Wait thou only upon God. Let me check one thing here just a minute. Yeah, wait thou only upon God, because my expectation or my hope is from him. And that's a great thing. When we're expecting God to bless us, we'll never be let down. People, we work with the best we can. We always love it when things work out with people and we can help them and they can help us. It's just if you put too much of your expectation on people, you'll be let down because people aren't perfect. Sometimes they don't even want to help you. Other times they want to, but they don't know how. But God is not only able but willing to help you out. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation or my deliverance and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So that is so great that our expectation can be from God. Psalm 130, let's go there. Psalm 130 is sort of an extra one I threw in here. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications, my requests. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared or revered. God forgives us, therefore we can have great reverence with him. Verse 5, I wait, again, with expectation for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. A lot of times people are up, including the guards, the keepers at the gates. Others are just waiting for the sun to come up, and they can't wait for it. Well, he says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all iniquities. So we want to wait with expectation. People may be excited. They want the sun to come up because they want to go get to work or want to go off on a vacation or something fun or want to talk to somebody who's asleep and they want them to wake up or all kinds of reasons you may want to wait for the morning. Well, he said his soul waited for the morning or waited on God more than those that wait for the morning. Great stuff. And let's go here to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. In verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The guys that usually have more energy than anybody else, even they will run out of energy. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that wait with expectation upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Many of you probably know there was a fellow from southern India named K.C. Pillai, a bishop of the Indian Orthodox Church, who made it his ministry, his mission, to teach what he called light from an Eastern window, where he would explain Eastern customs that would clarify and illuminate misunderstood sections of the Bible. And when he taught on this, he liked to talk about a type of eagle that would molt. The time came for it to lose its feathers, just part of the natural process of growing with an eagle. And the way it would do it is it would fly way up high and would sort of dive bomb into a pond, and the impact of hitting the water would knock all the feathers off. Then it would sort of squawk around on the beach looking like a plucked chicken until its feathers grew back. And then it would be stronger than before, and it would rise up on wings as an eagle, which it was, and it would be stronger than before. A little bit like the concept of the phoenix coming out of the ashes, but this actually happened. And the eagle was stronger than before. And it's interesting that when we wait on the Lord, you may feel like a plucked chicken. You may feel like you've lost all your strength and your power and your ability to maneuver. But as you wait on the Lord and expect Him to bless you, you'll come back stronger than ever. So again, we're all going to have challenges. We've got to talk about them. We've got to deal with them. But if all you ever do is talk about your problems and never go to God and expect His blessings, it becomes rather defeatist. I have a hard time listening to people complain too long. I understand you got to complain and work, get stuff out of your system, and I don't mind doing that. But when that's all they do and they never get around to going to God with the expectation of deliverance, I sort of sometimes have short patience for that, because there's no benefit in just continuing to wallow in your sorrow. You, like I say, you can address it, you can talk about it, you can share it, you can deal with it, but then sooner or later you got to leave it behind and go to God for deliverance. And that's what I like to do. So let's read that verse 31 again. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that expect the Lord to bless them, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be like, well, let's actually go back to verse 28 and read the whole section again. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But in contrast to that, in contrast to everybody else wearing out, getting discouraged, being out of strength, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And that's what we do. We walk and not faint. We mount up with wings as eagles. Our strength is renewed. So when your strength is low, when you're discouraged, and you can't figure out how to do things, just pray with the expectation that God will come through for you. And then be patient and wait until He either gives you the green light to go ahead, or He just opens the doors and everything's there in front of you. And as you do that, you'll come back stronger than ever. So don't put all your focus on the problem. Put your focus on God's deliverance and coming back stronger than ever. Then one section to end here in Lamentations, another favorite one. Now the word Lamentations, as you know, right after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel, so it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, is written during the time when most of those in Jerusalem have been carried off captive to Babylon, and the remnant that remained in Jerusalem, they're a small group in a city that's been destroyed. It's like one of those movies about after a nuclear holocaust when things are really weird. They were lamenting, they were weeping, things were very bad. Jeremiah was the prophet there in Jerusalem. Most of the people that were left were doing all kinds of crazy, nutty things, not trusting God, being very scared, making all the wrong decisions. Even when God told them exactly what to do, they wouldn't do it. In the midst of this terrible, terrible time, I mean, imagine if an army came in to your city, killed a bunch of people, dragged most of the people away in chains, and you and a small group were sort of left there with the crumbs and remnants, worried that the army would come back any day and kill you too. It'd be a very discouraging way to live. I mean, we get upset when the traffic's a little bad, or we stub our toes, or, you know, a check somebody gives you bounces, and, you know, or any little things. We all have challenges, but nothing, nothing like the kind of challenge they had there in Jerusalem. And in the midst of that, here in Lamentations 3, verse 21, We read the following. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The Babylonian army didn't have much compassion on them, but the Lord still has compassion on them. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's compassions don't fail, and they're new every morning. And I love that, because there are days where I definitely feel I try God's patience and he's out of compassion for me. I don't think it's true, but even if it were true, he'd have a new batch of compassion for me tomorrow morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for them. The word kawah, wait with expectation, to the soul that seeketh him. So for those that expect God to bless them, those that seek him, the Lord is good. Then look at verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. If you wanted to have a theme verse for our session today, this would be a great one. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We have to do that. We have to quietly wait for the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. We have to wait with expectation, and our hope has to be in him. The best way to get discouraged is put all your hope in a person or a circumstance, because it will always let you down eventually. It's okay to work with people. It's okay to have realistic, plans for what they're going to do in the project and what you're going to do. But ultimately, your hope, ultimately, your expectation should be in God. Because even if that project fails and all your coworkers or colleagues or friends let you down, God will still have a way to take care of you. So, again, let's read that verse again, Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. So you got a big challenge this week. Expect God to deliver you. Wait with expectation as you pray that God will bring you that deliverance. And do it quietly. Do it peacefully, knowing that God will come through for you. Just hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you for the joy it's been to read these scriptures, to see about how faithful you are, that when we pray and we expect you to bless us, you will come through abundantly. You always have and you always will. You do your part of the bargain so wonderfully. It's just our part of the deal to actually pray with expectation, and peacefully and quietly know that you will always come through. I thank you for this, for your love, for your kindness, for these wonderful saints. May the weeks ahead be filled with trusting you, looking to you, and simply rejoicing in your goodness and kindness. Thank you for this, and the joy of being able to pray for one another, to reach out with your word to others, and to know that we have great victory because of your kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.